Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Last week we started on this topic, and today I would like to continue with it a little bit. This topic of the crowns. I think sometimes we misunderstand the crowns. By the way, it's not the believer that casts their crowns at Jesus' feet. It's the 420 elders. Okay, in front of the throne there are the 24 elders. They're the ones who cast crowns. Believers don't cast crowns. It's a common misconception in Christianity that we will cast our crowns at His feet. We're not the 420 elders. Now, in Matthew 27:29, the Word of God says that Jesus had a crown of thorns planted on Him, on His head. And He was mocked. But yet the fact that He underwent this mockery was indeed His crown. And the crown there, again, is not talking about a crown of reigning, but rather it is talking about that which was given to a victor in an athletic competition, in an athletic contest. And the one that won received a crown. And it was usually made of some sort of wooden twigs or some, you know, like a wreath type of a structure. And they would wear this crown. And this was a picture of the crown that He had, except His crown was not a floral crown, which was one of the things that was, I think, put on crowns, but it was a crown of thorns. There was the victory. Was in the throne, in the crown of thorns. You see, why? Why was the victory in the crown of thorns? Because the thorns were what covered His head in blood. And if I, as a believer, do not have my head covered by the blood of Christ, I will never have redemption in my mind. And so the crown of thorns had to be planted on His head so that the head would be bloody. So that redemption would come in the mind. Because redemption is in the mind, is where all redemption comes from. In a practical sense for the believer. So He had received the crown. And because He received a crown, I can receive a crown. And really, it's how well I respond to His crown that I receive my crown. It's how well I respond to His victory that brings my victory. And so in Revelation chapter 2, the Word of God says in verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto the death, and I will give you a crown of life." Be faithful unto the death. And He's talking there about people who were persecuted very intensely. Satan had attacked them over and over, and He used the world to attack them. He used a great deal of brutal persecution. And He says to them, "Be faithful unto the death, and you will receive a crown of life." I think it's interesting that death was what brought the crown of life. Faithfulness unto the loss of my self-life, the loss of my physical life, even the natural life, but I would receive His life. You see, the victory that the crowns represent are the victory that I'm experiencing in my life as a believer. Now, where did that crown come from? What is the characteristic of all people who receive a crown? These are the people who in Revelation 2 and 3 are the overcomers. You see, it is like an athletic contest. It is something that I must overcome, and it is the overcomer that ultimately receives the crown. And so there are five major areas, where I as a believer become an overcomer. Now, for those who exercise, and this isn't just talking about being faithful unto the death in persecution. Because how am I faithful unto the death and persecution? Well, I'm faithful by the word of my testimony. I love not my own life unto the death. Right? The blood of the Lamb. How does all that come? It comes through the word of God. The grace government operating in the believer's life through the word of God is the Holy Spirit quickens that word to the circumstances of his life, and that believer then lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word for that believer's life from God relating to the believer's circumstances. What it's talking about there, this is a crown, this is an overcoming that I receive for continuously exercising and manifesting that which is of the Word of God in the details of my life through grace, through the government of God. So as the Holy Spirit takes over my life and applies the Word of God to my life, I receive a crown of life because I have become an overcomer in life against the adversities that meet me as a believer. So the crown of life, yes, is for those who respond to God in their suffering, of course, but also, really, it's to that believer who responds to God according to the fruit of the Spirit and the Word of God in the details of his life through grace. And so even if I should happen to fail, I practice grace in my failure towards my failure. I practice rebound, not just recovery, but rebound in my failure, and I am not disqualified for receiving the crown of life. It's like, let's say you have a marathon runner. Has it ever happened that a marathon runner has fallen down and gotten up? Or you have a track runner. I like that movie, for example, with Eric Little, Chariots of Fire, where Eric Little falls down. Right? He was a great runner and he fell down. He was tripped and fell down, and the rest of the pack got far ahead of him. But he got up and he outran the rest of the pack to where he actually won the race. This is a picture of what it's talking about. Where I overcome. It's not that I don't feel, that I don't face obstacles, or it's not even that I never have times of failure. It's that I get up and I exercise grace and I exercise myself in the Word of God and I exercise faith towards God and His promises, His character, His love for me, His mercy. I utilize His mercy. And this makes me an overcomer. You see, I can win even if I fall. And that's the person who receives the crown of life. That is the one that God says, you have won. You are a winner in the kingdom of God. Not because you had it easy. Not because everything was perfect in your life. Not because you never failed. But because you got up and you ran. You see, he ran all the harder for having failed. Right? He fell and he ran all the harder. And isn't this what happens to us believers? God forbid we fail. But she that sinned much loved much. She loved all the more. Because all the more was forgiven her. So we don't want to fail. But if we exercise grace, then God takes even the curse and turns it into a blessing. So that is the first of the five crowns. In James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. This is why I endure temptation, because I love God. This is why I overcome in temptation, because I love God. And temptation is not necessarily temptation to sin, although that can be the one, you know, that can be one form of it. But temptation is really trial. So blessed is the one who endures all forms of trials, whether it's a temptation to sin or a hardship in their life or whatever Satan happens to throw their way, or the world throws their way, or other people throw their way, they throw their own way. Whatever it is, blessed is the man who endures these things. And then he becomes an overcomer because of the love of God. And he can endure it because he is loved by God. He knows he is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And so he's able to stand. And he overcomes and receives a crown of life. The second crown. The second crown is really an extension. In Psalm 103 and verse 4, in the second part, God crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. In Proverbs 14:18, the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And you see, knowledge and loving kindness or tender mercies are what bring to me the second crown. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How do I fight a good fight? How do I finish the course? And how do I keep the faith? Loving kindness, tender mercies, and doctrine. Knowledge is talking about doctrine. And when I have the love of God, I have the mercy of God, and I have doctrine resident in my heart, and doctrine is my frame of reference, then I know how to fight a good fight. And I know how to finish my course. And I don't quit. I just keep going even if it's tough. And I have promises from doctrine that tell me that I will be fine, that give me assurance, that give me confidence and boldness, and that are a light unto my path. And these things keep me, and I am able to finish my course. And I am able to keep the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing. Love the manifestation of God. Love the fruits of God. So I consistently receive the abundance of grace, and God's righteousness reigns in my life. And the abundance of grace comes through loving kindness and tender mercies and doctrine. And I receive a crown. I become an overcomer. This is how a person really walks in faith. Because faith is then counted to us as righteousness, and we receive the crown of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, when I know who I am before God, when I know that I am His beloved, when I know that I'm precious to Him beyond anything else, then it gives me the ability for something and a desire for something. See, every man that strives for mastery, and that means to contend for victory in public gains, is temperate in all things. Now, they do it, the world does it, to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible crown. What is this talking about? This is talking about the believer who will not corrupt his life or his body. This is talking about the believer who keeps himself pure. This is talking about a young woman who keeps herself pure and waits for her husband, and a young man who does not lust after girls, at least does not give in to the temptation of that, and he does not try to find a young woman to seduce. And a young woman that if something comes her way, she is not seduced by it. I'm not saying that these people will receive no temptation. I'm saying these people will overcome the temptation. And purity reigns in their life through grace because they know that they are precious. They know that their lives have immense value. They know that their bodies are God's home. They know that in them is a precious being relationship they do not want to destroy with their bridegroom, the one who will be with them for all of eternity. They keep themselves pure. They keep themselves pure because they know they are the beloved of God. They learn how to think in truth. They learn how to have pure thoughts. And it is a learning process. It is not an instant thing because we all have a flesh. But it is something that is worked into us by the Holy Spirit as we respond to His love for us. And then we do not want what the world has to offer. We want what God has to offer. Because it is so much better. And we stay pure. And we receive the incorruptible crown. It's not saying that somebody failed and they cannot win again. No. It's saying that if they fail, they get up. It's saying, woman, where are your accusers? No man, Lord, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And this is the person that receives the incorruptible crown. There is another crown. This is a crown that's found in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. So what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ at His coming? Isn't this the crown of our crown of rejoicing? Isn't this our crown of rejoicing? Therefore, in Philippians 4:1, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. This is our crown of rejoicing. This is the believer who learns to invest the heart of God in other people. Often this is called the soul winner's crown of joy, but it's not just for soul winning, although soul winning is necessary for this. But it's the person who not only wins souls, but invests in people's lives. Invests the heart of God in another individual. This is one of the reasons why I'm so proud of you guys who have made the decision to go to Bible college, and you're paying the price because you learn how to invest the heart of God in people. You become equipped to do this for other people, to make disciples. To let people know they're loved by the eternal Savior. And God gives you a crown. And this is something we have to learn because it is very much opposed by the flesh. How many people are saying, I will not go out soul winning? How many Christians are saying, I will not win the lost? I will not invest? Oh, I'll have friendship evangelism because that requires nothing of me. But Jesus said, well, you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. So much for you requires nothing of me. Did you know it's a pearl of great price? Salvation is for free. Grace is unmerited. Love is unconditional. But rewards come at a price. And only the one who becomes an overcomer against their own flesh. Only the one who says, yes, Lord, I will be a vessel of mercy. I will have the love of God shed abroad in my heart. That is the one that will receive the crown of rejoicing. And finally, there is one last crown. It's in 1 Peter 5 in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The crown of glory is a crown that's given to a certain class of individuals, not because they are better, but because they have a greater accountability and a greater responsibility. The pastors who out of a ready mind, because their frame of reference, their heart, their mind is so filled with God's nature, God's word, God's heart, God's character, simply pour into people because they love to. They can't contain what God has given them, and it has spills out of them. This pastor will receive a crown of glory because he has overcome his own humanity in the sense of God has taken over his life, and he spills it to another person. One of the things about our rewards is we don't get rewards in a bubble. In other words, I don't get, as a pastor of this church, the rewards I get, I don't get alone. I get them with you. The rewards that you get, you do not get alone. You get them with each other and with me. The rewards that are gotten by Baltimore are going to be gotten by us also, so long as we are one in heart. I do not get rewards in a vacuum. So the pastor that receives certain crowns, those who were one with him in his congregation receive the exact same rewards. And the congregation that is one with the pastor invests in them. And because of his investment, they are able to receive certain rewards in heaven. He gets those rewards also. I don't know this for fact, but it's my opinion that when we reign, we will reign as corporate assemblies. For those who are one together. Because they that suffer with Christ will reign with Christ. But suffering with Christ is not simply being the one who suffers. It is also suffering with the one who is undergoing whatever suffering he is undergoing. You see, when one member rejoices, they all rejoice. When one member sorrows, they all sorrow. When one is suffering, they are all suffering. And so, in the body of Christ, where there is unity and oneness of heart, that reward that comes to all. And it's not like a pie where I get a little bit of the reward and you get a little bit of the reward. It's like the one who gives fully to each one. I get a full reward, and so do you. So in Revelation 3:11, the Word of God says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, so that no man can take your crown." You see, it doesn't say that God will take your crown. It says that a man will take your crown. It doesn't even say that the enemy will take your crown. But the temptations, the confusion of the world, where other people come in and through sentimental attachments or improper thinking or whatever it would be, desires that are not of God, those can take away my crown. But even if I should stumble or even if I should fall, the runner simply gets up and he keeps running and he does not lose his crown. It's only the one who stopped running that has his crown taken away. You know?